We're back on the grind with Trevor McFalls. So Coach McFalls out of Snow College in Ephraim, Utah. Snow is a part of the National Junior College Athletics Association, for those that don't know. So I'm extremely excited. One, because I do have a bit of existing relationship with Coach McFalls, and it's weird. We've kind of crossed paths inadvertently, kind of somehow, and we haven't really crossed paths, but you were working somewhere when I was working somewhere, and we kind of would flip every once in a while, I feel like. So that's been kind of fun. But I want to dive in first to your kind of history. But first of all, how you feeling, man? I'm excited to have you here.
Oh, man, I'm excited. This is a fun time for, college football with signing day just passing by. And I'm excited. This is everything. Football is always fun to talk about for me. And, like you said, it's good to be able to share this together in the mutual relationships we have, as well as the crossing paths that we've gone through, and the number of years that it's been since we met. So that's I'm excited to kind of get into things and ultimately talk about Snow and what we were able to do and what we do here. So
yeah, I'm excited. I'm stoked, bro. You guys got, when you showed me kind of what you were doing from a recruiting standpoint, but also the squad you guys landed, this is crazy. So we'll get to that. I definitely want to chat through that. But I want everyone to know that Coach McFalls here is absolute grinder. We talk about the recruit grind. This guy grinds, man. He gets it. He's been at the level where, from GA to running operations for a program to doing the recruiting operations for a program. He gets it. There's a lot of work that goes into it, and we'll probably talk through some of that as well. But before you were grinding it out at the college level as a professional in it from a career standpoint, you were pretty dominant at a high school standpoint too, coming out of Juan Diego High School. Juan Diego had some really good years at that point. But talk us through, I'd love for you to kind of talk through your high school recruiting experience and getting to SUU.
We had a few good years at Juan Diego and able to win a couple state championships there, which definitely helped me and a lot of us, the other guys on the team, get recruited from there. But I kind of went into it a little bit blind with, not having much background or experience outside of just kind of knowing the Anderson family growing up and, kind of picking at them for football things. But
yeah, which Gary's been on the pod before too. So Coach Gary Anderson's been on the podcast. So that's who he's referring to, everybody, when he's talking about.
Exactly. With the close relations, that's kind of, those names just passed by me. But no, yeah, Gary is just, he was a little bit of the resource I had, but at the same time, that was where he was still coaching, and so he could only give me so much for what he was doing at this time, and ultimately he was busy doing his recruiting. So going through that, I kind of experienced the schools that would reach out here and there. And at that time, there was no Twitter, there was no any of that stuff when I was in high school, and they actually didn't even have Huddle. So my film was on a DVD, and I was like, so me and my mom sent, looked up, every address, every school, and emailed out, or not emailed, but mailed out every DVD we could make. And, ultimately it was I did it so late in the process where I was after my senior year when I was sending film out. And, at that point now I'm realizing it's dude, you have to send that out when you're a sophomore, or, sophomore, you got to get your name out there. Yep. And it's much, much easier now. But so that's where, for me, Southern Utah came in and they watched me in high school, through the season. And then, Paul Peterson, who, he's been around forever, and he was the one that actually recruited me to Southern Utah, came in, sat down with me in the office, kind of had, that type of conversation. And then the house visit, all that type of stuff. And ultimately it was where we scheduled the official visit for the final weekend of that before signing day. And Coach Ed Lamb sat me down and said, "We're offering you a scholarship, and you got basically a day to tell me if you're going to come because of the timetable of what we're doing." And, I was entertaining I can't even think of, it was a school in Kansas. I think it was like an NAIA and like a couple other just like preferred walk-on spots that, you know, ultimately I was like in a situation where like financially a scholarship was going to be the best for me to be able to pursue a dream. And so that was where, you know, Southern Utah came in at the perfect time and offered me. And, you know, it took me like a day-ish to even to like consider, but all of that was just mostly kind of finding out what the offer was and, you know, that. And then I committed and signed that day on, you know, whatever that signing day was, with the actual pen and paper and fax and all that type of stuff.
And, back when it was all fax machines, dude.
Finished it. Yeah, exactly. Nowadays it's funny because like we still replicate that with the whole signing thing. But like, I mean, basically everybody does it electronically as far as I know. So it's like, you know, it's kind of for show, but I still respect it just because I went through it and I love it and I love to celebrate it. So you know, I love to see the kids do it. And
I had been in a couple of programs where we even went as far as like still printing it out and like bringing it on the table, like, let's go, even though it was all electronic. Yep. I was like,
we would get those and like we would get them basically picture messages back to us like in that basic form and or like a PDF, you know, and then we wouldn't go print it out and going cheering in the office as soon as they come in and go and turn around and announce them. And it's fun to, it's so much work like and so long through, because like I mean ultimately the recruiting process starts right now and like it doesn't end until a year from now and everybody's signed and done. And it's so much like I mean every bit invested into that process with these kids, and I mean time spent away just to be able to recruit and go see the games and go see the kids and high school home visits, like all that stuff, it's so much poured into it. So when you get these kids to sign with you and like you want these kids playing for you, it's like, you know, it is that party, that exciting like celebration type feeling, because it's like, man, we grinded for this kid and we finally freaking got him, and now it's time to celebrate because he's going to make our team better. And you know, that's where like all of that work adds up to that day. And you know, it's fun to be able to celebrate and have
Hallelujah,
fun with
man.
Everybody
no,
together,
but
right?
But, it's hard work paid off. It's funny because like I when I first thought about like, hey, how am I going to name this entire podcast, right? How am I going to name it? And I always thought through like almost every interaction I ever had with a coach and or like a recruit was like, dude, man, this thing's a grind. Like it's such a grind. Like, everyone always talks to recruiting is a grind both ways. So it was just natural. I was like, recruit grind, man. This is what this thing is.
Oh, dude, I loved it. As soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's exactly. I mean, to name a podcast that and this is what it's about. It's like, I mean, it's. You know,
yeah, it is, dude.
Basically,
which is funny too, because like it was like I saw a lot of posts from coaches where it was like literally, you know, National Signing Day was done, and like on National Signing, and when I say done, it was like towards the evening when like all the signing was pretty much completed everywhere, and then you see some coaches were like, "All right, 25s, where are you at?" Like it's already on the like next recruiting class, and it's like, dude, let me catch a breath real quick, bro. Let me catch a breath.
I was the same way. And personally, it was just because I was like, oh, man, start this out. Like, I know that's all work, but man, I need to be able to like at least just go home and get some sleep. Let me wake up and start the day fresh again.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. Dude. It's wild. But no, it's super cool. You mentioned something that I'm going to backtrack a little bit to, and it's specific because there's a couple high school players that I know, parents that have actually reached out to me that are starting late. And you kind of mentioned that about yourself. You were like, man, like I should have started that back when I was a sophomore. What was it about that? Like what, like why were you waiting so long to start that? Was there something that was like, you're not sure if you're even going to be able to go the college route, or what was that about?
Truly, I was in a way naive to like the whole process, and I didn't even like, I mean, I didn't take the process by the reins. I kind of just like, I was go with the flow. And, you know, my sophomore year, I was so focused on like winning a job as a football player and like trying to, I mean, I was like in that Friday Night Lights mode where like everything was about winning. And, you know, so for me, I didn't even think about recruiting at that time. And then like my sophomore year, or I mean, my junior year, things started to like pick up a little bit. I'm a starter like from the year before. Like, I started my sophomore year, so now I'm going into the next year as like a starter and feeling more confident about what I'm doing, and like those types of things started to add up. And then we start to go and like compete at college camps over the summer. Yeah. Like we would stay like 3 days at the Weber State camp, and then I started to get recognized at that stuff. And that's where like my junior year, I was like, okay, like maybe football is what I'm gonna do and like pursue. Like, because at that time, I really still kind of was just in it for fun and like the joy of competing and playing football and winning and, you know, doing that type of thing. And so I still didn't even really think about it for me, myself, like of what I could do with it. And then, you know, by that point, football was done. My junior year, we won state championship. Everything of that was like we were undefeated. So it was like every bit of what we wanted was, you know, achieved. And then it was basketball season. And so I kind of was like, all right, we got what we wanted out of football. Now basketball season, let's go. Yeah. And then, you know, at that point, basketball's taken over and I haven't even really thought about football again until we get our rings. And then, you know, at that point, it's like, okay, get ready for senior year. And then Keegan Anderson got his first, he got offered by Utah State when his dad kind of transitioned over into that head coaching role. And that was like really my first experience of like, okay, like,
it's legit.
This time it got.
Yeah, this is gonna happen.
Like we're seniors together, man. It's like you're going to Utah State, and I better figure out where I'm going. And like, you know, I had dreams of, you know, getting a Utah offer and getting a Utah State offer, and like sitting there like with that type of stuff going on. And like, I didn't at the time realize like what that took, what I should have done to that point to be able to even be considered for that type of stuff. Where like they brought me in through like that summer going into my senior year, and like, personal invites and like the personal meetings and stuff like that with like, Coach Jay Hill actually was working at Utah at that time, and kind of like went and I drew his attention from like the U Shoot 7-on-7 day. Yeah. You know, that was where like ultimately I kind of felt, you know, the attention of like, okay, yeah, like I can start to get this thing going. And then, you know, they offered PWO and I got PWOs from everybody. And like, for me, it was like, I felt amazing about that. But then I also knew, I was like, okay, well, ultimately it's not a scholarship. And like, you know, for, like I said, it's like, that's the best situation I can be in. And like, for my family, all these back, like all these things, like, you know, that's what I need to pursue. And then that was where, you know, we go through and win state again and like have that great, great year again. And I finish off, you know, my high school career in that way. And then I was like, all right, it's time to go. Like, I need to get myself moving on what I'm going to do in the future. And, you know,
that's when the DVDs started coming out and you're like, boom, boom, boom.
Literally.
Like, sending them out like Oprah, dude.
After that, it was, my mom was like, okay, like, are you sure we're going to go and keep sending it? I was like, yeah, we have to. That's how you do it. And I'm like, you know, I just, at that time, you know, I thought that was going to go and win me this Division I scholarship. And then, I basically sit there, and then SU comes in, and I'm like, sure.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Anything. I love this, man. And, you know, I couldn't have been more happy about going to SU and like the career I had there. I mean, ultimately put me in a position of where I'm in now, where, you know, I can sit back and look and think like, man, I wish I would have done this and I wish I'd done that while I was in my college career. But like, I mean, that changes nothing other than just, you know, how I feel about it now. And so for me, it's been, I went in as a tight end. That was like, I played tight end and defensive end at Juan Diego, played both sides of the ball. So like, they kind of recruited me as that type of like bigger athlete and didn't necessarily know I was going to go when they brought me in, but, you know, had a need at tight end when they brought me in. So that was where I went to. And then it actually happened before fall camp. I went out there like in the summer period before and was like, I think I moved in at the beginning of July, started working out with the team and all that. And I had like gone through, being a big tall guy and playing basketball and stuff, I'd rolled my ankles all my life. And so like my ankles
big tall were guy shot. Just for reference though, 6'5". So definitely a big tall guy. Yeah, for sure.
So constantly rolling my ankles is centered down in basketball and just everything else being tall, gangly kid. And and so I kind of went there like, a little damaged-ish. You know, I had rolled my ankle pretty bad my senior year, and like ultimately what it was is that I chipped a bone off in my ankle, and like that kind of was just floating in there for the whole like remainder of my senior year. And then I went into SUU with it, and in the summer I like just rolled it super bad and went into the trainers and was like, it was just black and purple, and like they were like, okay, yeah, like we should maybe send you into a specialist. And it was like, I mean, eventually we found out it was like ligaments are torn and the bone chip's sitting down here because the ligament tore off and ripped it off and like all this stuff. So
You're
had
just
to get
nonchalant about it.
surgery.
You're like, I'm good. Like, it's fine. Just rub some grass
Well,
on
like,
it. Oh.
you know, for me, I kind of got used to the ankle pain because of, you know, years and years of that type of stuff. And then, you know, football, that's what you do. And so, you know, I'm like, and I'm a freshman trying to come in and impress some people. So I'm coming in trying to do something, and I'm hobbling. And then finally, a week and a half into fall camp, I'm like, I talked to the coaches, and they're like, yeah, let's have you get surgery. I mean, there's nothing for you to do this year other than recover
Interesting.
and heal. And so I went through the whole fall, you know, like in a soft cast and then a boot and then, you know, that whole process, and then go into spring ball, and really wasn't like, you know, 100% because recovery wise, I was like, you know, doing the protocol and not much more, which I look back now and I'm like, man, I should have pushed myself more. But after like I went back and I went back and I mean kind of worked my way back into it, and then eventually through that process got moved into the D line room and like DN, D tackle type position.
See, that's why I was confused, because if you go back onto SUU's actual website and look you up, which I did because I do that with almost everybody on the podcast, but it's like you're listed as O lineman, but then there's all this like defensive stats, and I'm super confused.
So I actually played D line for the majority of my career there, from my redshirt freshman year until my redshirt junior year. I played defensive like tackle mostly, and then like in sets I'd play D end, and like in, you know, that like in odd sets and stuff like that. And so I actually, yeah, that was like where I moved. So I halfway through my redshirt junior year tore my LCL and missed basically the remainder of the season, like other than like I was able to kind of hobble back into the last game and just to kind of like finish the year off. But in that process, a young kid kind of stepped up and played, Robert Torgerson, just I mean he killed it that year. And so he ended up playing really well and like coming back into it, me and him were battling, and like I was sitting there as the starter. But it was like, I mean, essentially we were going to split reps because he was a great player. And for me, like went through spring ball kind of in that position. And then we get through and, I can't remember what happened through the process of it, but like we lost a couple tackles. And so head coach comes to me in the summer, is like, Trevor, like ultimately, like I'm not going to make this decision for you, but like you have an opportunity if you were to play tackle to, you know, do this thing further. And, you know, if you want to, you can pursue it. If you want to play D tackle and finish off the year, like, I mean, you're going to be a great D tackle, like with that. But, you know, ultimately, it's not your best position. And so for me, I was kind of like, sure, why not? And at that point, I kind of, you know, was just, you know, at the point of like, why not phase. And, you know, I was graduating and finishing out my college career. And, so, you know, did that and only played tackle for my redshirt senior year and like started every game at left tackle for that year. But yeah, ultimately I played defensive tackle for essentially 4 years, and or I guess 3 years, and then tight end for a year, or, you know, surgery tight end, and then offensive tackle. And, you know,
Okay, that
looking
makes a
back
lot more
now, like,
sense.
I wish, you know, I or, you know, all the wishes. It's like, you
No.
know, I probably could have gotten the shot if I would have played tackle the whole time, but some of that was my ego, you know, being like, no, I want to do what I'm doing. You know, at the end of the
Now
day, it's, I'm happy to be where I'm at now.
I'm about to say you bathe in the light side, bro. Welcome to the rebellion, dog. Old lineman for life, man. That's
Exactly. And that was where this feud started. And, you know, that's where ultimately it's spread into, you know, the coaching career that I have now. And, you know, finished out playing and then moved back home. Actually, helped kind of back home with some family stuff, and got an opportunity to start coaching at my high school, Juan Diego, in 2015 season, I believe, was the first year. And we got, I mean, luckily, and I mean, it was a great team. We won state that year. So the last 3 years I was a part of Juan Diego football, we won state football championships. So it was kind of,
well,
I mean,
Juan Diego should be, they should be forking out some money to get you back there, dude. Cause it's like every time you're there, they're winning state championships.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, they're going to get things going. I think they got a good staff. The head coach they got over there's a good dude. I like Ron a lot.
That'd be really good.
So, but yeah, so, had a year there. That was when John was still there. John Colosimo, finished out, and it was special to me to be able to like kind of start my career with him, because ultimately he was what like started this football, you know, love for me, where like, you know, I go in as a freshman at high school, I kind of was just a pup and, you know, I didn't know nothing. And he kind of just, I mean, the way he taught, the way he loved, the way he cared about coaching and teaching and doing it the right way. And, you know, the push and the drive that he had, it was, you know, what made me, I appreciate being able to coach with him in that setting so much, and like having the success that we had, it was cool. And so that was what kind of like sparked this fire for me of like, man, this is who I want to be. Like, this is, you know, Gary Anderson is like a role model for me.
Yeah.
John Colosimo is a role model for me. Like these coaches that like have, you know, so much success in their life, and in my opinion, have done it the right way, and like go about it the right way personally and in a relationship based fashion and those types of things. And so that was where like I modeled myself in a coaching way. And, you know, from there it was like, okay, I want to get an opportunity to get back into college, because the serious nature that I have about football and, you know, the attitude that I have about football is so 24/7 that I need it all the time. You know what I mean? And so I got a chance. I got to go just volunteer, basically. I was what, like, I started out as a volunteer, offensive line assistant with Southern Utah. And so got to go back and coach with the staff that, you know, essentially kind of same thing with Juan Diego, go and work with the guys.
Be a part of it. Yeah.
And then DeMario Warren was the head coach at the time, when this happened. And so got an opportunity to go back with those guys and, started the GA role. And, you know, I mean, essentially GA role, I was already in my master's program. And so that was where, like, I just kind of went back into that, and, they didn't have money for me. So I just started a volunteer and went through the whole season as a volunteer. Just, I mean, living on, you know, the Colettes,
appreciate
the Colettes couches. Yeah. So that, and I mean, my wife too, now, like, we were together at the time, so she's just sitting there, I mean, sending me money. I'm going to Plasma Bank to go and donate. I'm all that, you know. So, and then every meal that I get from official visits, and that's going right into the fridge for the whole week. And, you know,
stock up to go boxes.
I did it the wrong way. So, GAs, listen up. If you need to eat some food, do it the right way.
So true, dude. That's hilarious.
It was such a fun process to, like, I mean, just learn how to coach and learn from these guys that I appreciated so much for the opportunity they gave me as a player and now as a coach. And so just Aaron Fernandez is like, I mean, he's the other guy that just kind of next in line of those role models that I have of the reason. And I mean, ultimately the way I modeled the coaching, you know, train that I have and like the way that I go about my day and the way that I go about, like, he taught me a quote of, you can always control two things, your energy and your effort. And that's like how I've modeled myself basically day in and day out after that, because it's like, I mean, it's, you know, ultimately the two things that nobody can take from you, and ultimately, you know, you pick,
you make that decision,
finish the day. So
I love it.
So, you know, he taught me, you know, what O-line is and, you know, why I do the things I do in the O-line room, and the way I teach it, the technical aspect. I mean, every single little detail from the angle of your foot and your stance to, you know, what you're looking at and the leverage that you're thinking about in the play. And I mean, just every single thing, that was what I was taught and that was what I had to do for him. And so I was able to ingrain myself into that way of thinking. And for, you know, the way I played to the way I coach now is so much different, because it was like, for me as a player, I kind of was just like, yeah, like I'm going to go play. And just kind of like, I mean, especially in the O-line world, nothing of what I did as a player is what I teach now. So,
yeah.
So if you see any film of me, nothing of that was, is in my resume.
We learn.
Exactly. Growth. But yeah, so that was, ultimately where I got to kind of grow in those 2 years is I ended up getting put on as like a GA. So I was able to get a little bit of money and stay with it and go through that. So 2 full seasons I was in that position. And then the DFO, Jeff Tukuafu, got an opportunity to elevate himself, which I know you know very well.
Jeff's been on the pod too, man. I freaking love Jeff.
Oh, man. Him moving up was, where I got to move up, and I was able to get put full time in that position. And that was ultimately where, I kind of took that dive, because transitioning from being a football coach to being an operations guy, you may not ever get back is kind of what you're told. Like, yeah. Sometimes that avenue like doesn't ever intercross again. And I had the biggest fear of like losing the opportunity to coach, because that was why I wanted to do this whole thing.
And then, well, that's it. For the record, too, those listening, DFO is terminology for an acronym for Director of Football Operations, which, getting into the operations side and kind of talking through that, I think I've maybe brought it up on here before, but operations staff, especially the DFO, is like planning and coordinating practices, like daily schedules along. I mean, obviously do that with the head coach, but traveling, like getting out to all the games, where you're going to stay, meals, how you're going to get there, everything. So it's like all the logistics behind it usually fall on the operations director. So it's funny because I feel like it's stretched across like almost all athletics programs now. It's like every sport has some sort of athletic or logistics operations person that takes care of it all. So that's what you're referring to. So it's a lot of work that goes into it. It's just different from the coaching side.
And at the FCS level, at some programs they have a better like staffed positions for like different things.
Yep.
But at an FCS level, at like a middle paid type position, in that type of role of like, we're not bringing in a ton of money. You're, as the DFO, you are also the video coordinator. You're also the recruiting coordinator. You're also the academic coordinator. So much respect for every DFO in that level. I got to the position I'm in because I just learned to work. I just learned, if you want to do this thing, you got to work. Yeah. And,
well, which is funny because we were talking before, and I want to bring this up because I think it's unique, but we were talking before the podcast a little bit, and you're sitting here talking about, dude, you're everything. You're a recruiting coordinator. You're this, you're that. You also got an opportunity to go work at Utah State for a little bit in more of a recruiting like heavy role. I think it was assistant director of player personnel, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like, here you are like ingraining yourself in specifically the recruiting side, which there's a part of me that's like, that was probably refreshing in some ways, where it's like, I don't have to deal with everything. Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of it too, it's like, now it's all recruiting. And it's funny because you go from all these hats, now you're just doing recruiting and you're kind of going back into that, like, what we were talking about before is basically like, dude, like a lot of these, what probably recruits don't see behind the scenes is a coach like Trevor, who has all of this knowledge and understanding of what he's done before. And then he gets put into a coaching role. He takes a coaching role and it's like, bro, you're still doing a whole bunch of stuff now at Snow, because it's a similar mindset, right? It's like, hey,
exactly. Like,
the more you can do, the better. So
And resources wise and everything, it's what you have to do to compete. What I mean? So, but yeah, so that was where, I was in a DFO role for a year at SU, and then I got the opportunity to go to Utah State when Gary Anderson got the job out there. Retook the position and, got to go in that. I mean, it was like you said, it was like rediving myself into football and coaching and that world again. And it was kind of, it was like for me exciting because I saw the avenue back into coaching again. Yeah. And I got to go work with an amazing staff that has so much experience that, all these dudes, Frank Miley still is a guy that I text and I call as much as I can. And, he's an amazing person to be able to have a relationship with profession. And he's ultimately what he helped me get this position I'm in now. So You know, those relationships that you create through those jobs that you have mean a lot. And, you know, the better you do in those positions ultimately gets you into, you know, what you want to be able to do in the future. Yep. So
networking,
the investment, right? And so for me, I got to go out there for 2 seasons. We unfortunately got let go after the COVID, or like through that COVID season, we got, our staff got let go. And so following that season, I was kind of in that transition mode. And then Southern Utah calls, and their tight ends coach had just left, and they were 2.5 weeks away from starting their season in the spring phase, like where for us in the FBS level, we played our 8-game season, you know, like interconference with the Mountain West.
Yeah.
And so that's where like transitioning out of that and like basically being done there. And then now the FCS level, and I believe like junior college, and there's a few other leagues that played their spring league in that COVID frame. And so now I'm going from the fall season at Utah State to the spring season at SUU, because that was where, you know, ultimately I got my opportunity to go coach. And so they call me and they're like, hey, we got 2 weeks to get out. I mean, to get you out here and ready. We're going through essentially our spring fall camp right now to prepare for our first game. So do you want this opportunity?
I forgot about it.
You know, I was like in a heartbeat. That's where I get to begin my start, right? And that's where, you know, I was able to go out there with Matt Wade as the offensive coordinator and Aaron Fernandez as the offensive line coach still. So I was able to kind of go back into that mode of who I was learning from, but then also in a coaching role. I was the tight ends coach at the time. So it was huge to be able to develop with those guys and kind of learn in the system that's that they awesome. Had to work. Matt, his offense is, I mean, it's intricate, and every little detail that a tight end has is everything in the offense, right? To where like for him, he wants to be able to put a tight end from the outside receiver on the left to the outside receiver on the right and every position in between. So, you know, for me as a tight ends coach, I'm like, okay, well then I have to know every single one of those spots, because, you know, in the run game, I need to know every single blocking assignment. I need to know combos. I need to know how we're going to do it. And then I need to know the technique behind it. And all those types of things. So, you know, I had to dive myself into the world of tight end and route running and those types of things to where, like, you know, as an O-line GA, you don't really ever care about that stuff.
You don't get to do that, for sure.
You do because, like, you're hearing about it in your staff meetings, but outside of that, it's like, okay, well, I'm focused on, you know, what the offensive line's doing. So, I'm crash course tight ends coach, you know, how from Matt Wade essentially was like, you know, he was amazing at getting me up to speed with like really how to teach a tight end to play. And in that way of like in the pass game, and, you know, I had to kind of invest myself into, you know, YouTube videos and different coaches that I liked that tight end, and, you know, go and listen to what they said in different clinics and stuff like that. And that was kind of how I kind of try to pick myself into that job ultimately for those 2.5 weeks into the season. And then through that season, I was still, you know, continuing to do it every week. And so I got the opportunity to go through there. We had, I think it was an 8-game season at that point. And then going into the next fall, there at SUU.
So that's where for the record, we had just missed each other, 'cause I had left and you got there.
That's right.
So this is for the record.
And then, that's funny. 'Cause I mean, man, Cedar's awesome. It's a special place, but
it really is.
But yeah, so went through that and kind of so spring season and then fall season, we got let go. Well, ultimately, DeMario stepped down, so that he kind of transitioned into the position at Boise State that he's in now. And with that, the rest of us kind of were in that limbo position. So I moved back home. To like where my wife was in Salt Lake, and just because like with the whole family transition and stuff, it's hard to, you know, pick and move everybody around constantly. Yep. So, moved back there and really didn't know what my next step was. And like, you know, I ultimately kind of felt I was going to be out of football for a little while because I didn't know where the next opportunity was going to be. And, I didn't know, like, you know, jobs wise, where to pursue. And I didn't want to leave the state necessarily because my family's here. And like, I didn't want to pursue too far outside of the state, I guess, to just get going.
And
so I transitioned out, and my dad has a construction company. So I was doing that and just different jobs for a little while. And then,
oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So that was basically through that spring of 2021. Yep. And then Frank calls me, and like another hour later, DeMario Warren calls me, Frank Miley.
Yeah.
And both of them say, hey, the offensive line job just opened up at Snow College. You should seriously consider it. Like, you'd be a great guy for the job, you know, all yeah. these different things. And, you know, if you're willing to go consider it, like, it's a great learning and growth environment. And
that's cool.
And I didn't know anything about really Snow other than, you know, I had been recruited by them a little bit when I was in high school. But mm-hmm. like at that time, it was more, they recruited me kind of after the point of SUU and like all that type of, or not after, but like, it was almost too late. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was like already involved with SUU and like really involved and really loving them. And so I just didn't really even ever entertain them. And then that was where, you know, I kind of learned what Snow was and, you know, who the coaches were, yeah. Zach Erickson, the head coach. And, he was, you know, the one that gave me the opportunity. And that was where really it was him and Jordan Pulo on the staff at the time. And then from there, the rest of the staff had left or, you know, yeah. got different opportunities or whatever. And so, you know, he was kind of rebuilding the staff. And, you know, that was ultimately where I got the opportunity to start at Snow. And 2021 season, now I've been here for two full seasons and going on my third year. And, you know, that's kind of where
you're at now.
Up to this point today. And, yeah, loving it.
I love so much of what you were just saying, dude. I wanted to unpack so many things. But I'm going to, just for the sake of your time, I'm going to focus on a couple of things. So,
yeah.
Okay, you get to the JC side of it. And what's unique here, and I want to focus a lot on the JC side because there's a lot of relevancy right now for a lot of recruits. And just what you showed me from your signing class and all that, like, I'm like anxious to really dive into that. But yeah. I have a question in regards to the levels that you've been at, right? So you've been here now, you've played at an FCS level, you've coached at an FCS level, you've recruited an FBS level, right? So mm-hmm. you've kind of recruited at all these levels, and now you're at a junior college. What would you say the biggest difference between all of them is from a recruiting standpoint?
Well, I'd say there's a few differences in the way of just like who you are available to talk to in the way yeah. of like, you see kids when you're at the FCS level and ultimately you're like, okay, yeah, I'm not even going to reach out to him because he's getting D1 traction in like the FBS frame. And so I'm not going to waste my time kind of. And
yeah.
you know, that's where like in that level, you go about it that way. At the FBS level, it's ultimately like free reign of recruiting with
yeah.
everybody in the nation, because ultimately, you know, you don't know anything about what their situation is. And so
yep.
for you at Utah State, you can go and recruit a kid in Florida that may be being looked at it, you know, in the SEC, but ultimately just kind of falls out of their ranks. And then bang, you go and land the kid because you're the guy that recruited him the most, or,
yeah.
you know, those things are where at those levels, I mean, if you're aggressive and if you, in my opinion, if you're doing it the right way and like going after the kids that fit in the mold of what you're looking for, but then also pursuing what you really want, you can go after kids that, you know, ultimately you wouldn't say are those types of school guys and go and land those kids. But then also, I mean, my philosophy is always start in and work out. And so like, it's the best kids in Utah or the best kids in the state you're in. And then yeah. from there, it's, you know, what I was saying with like, there's no reins on what you're doing and you ultimately have free reign of, you know, transfer portal, any of those yeah. types of guys, yeah. you can go and recruit them. And like, you know, some of them may not respond to you. Some of them may not entertain you, but you don't have that limitation necessarily built in of like,
yeah, from a resource standpoint, probably yeah,
you know, waste our time or whatever
yeah.
it is. And so, you know, that's the big difference I would say in those two levels. And then ultimately the resources that you have as a recruiter at the Division I level, it's just, I mean, from the top down, there's everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it changes from school to school, but there's, I mean, tour guides to people to go pick them up at the airport to,
yeah.
you know, just different things that help you as a recruiter be able to make the kid experience a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On an official visit or through the recruiting process or any of those
yeah.
things to where it's easier to show attention because you have more resources to do it. And
well, let's, you know, let,
that's,
let, Let's talk about one of those resources that we were talking about, bro. Graphics.
Oh man.
Like graphics have become, I'm just going to say this. Department. Yeah. Like graphics have become like this massive thing in college athletics, right? Where it's like, if you're not doing like high quality, like graphics, right? So again, perspective for me too, was like first getting into Oregon State, from a, you know, GA standpoint, it was like everything had to have a graphic. Like that's when I realized that on the college side, like literally like every offer had to have a graphic, every kid had to have like a custom graphic. And it was just like, all of a sudden you got me and you're familiar with this too, but like Keegan Anderson, Trevor Mann, like all these guys, along with the actual like director of graphics or whatever we named him, it was like, we're just in this room cutting kids out. And I'm like,
oh man,
this is insane. Like, this is crazy. And like, just go ahead.
The good luck graphics and I mean, just
birthday shout outs, all of
them. I mean, dude, I know it's appreciated, but man, it's some of it. It's sometimes a lot. It's just like, it's overkill because it's like, I mean, at the end of the day, guys, like, we're playing football. Like, and so don't remove yourself too far from what we're doing here.
Yeah,
like,
100%.
You know what I mean?
Dude, that's hilarious. Which is funny too. I'm gonna share this story. So when I was at University of Oregon, okay. So this is insane to me. So I was at Oregon and the Pac-12 was holding DFO meetings, right? And our DFO couldn't go. So he asked if I could go along with our assistant DFO. So I was like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, duh, that's amazing. I would love that opportunity. So I go and a lot of cool things happen, but towards the end of the meetings, we sit down and actually have like this really big powwow where we cover like everything you think of, from relationships with referees, with like, hey, where you guys stay. Like, it was really cool collaborative where everyone like SC, UCLA, all the DFLs are just sharing like, hey, this is how we do this, how we do that. One of the very last questions was like a hypothetical, which was like, hey, if you could just snap your fingers and get any position approved on your staff, what would it be? Not necessarily a coaching position, but more of like a support staff role, right? So an operations type role. Yeah. Almost every single school, I would say at least 80% of the Pac-12 schools were like, we would take another graphic designer. And that's like, in my mind, I'm like, you could have said anything. You could have said nutritionist. You could have said strength coach. You could have like support staff roles, right? And I'm like, this is where we're at right
advisor.
Now. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like things where it's like, no. Yes. It's crazy to me. Like it's all about like the social media branding game, pushing out. So, and it's even crazier too, because I'm like, yeah, now I'm listening to you before the podcast where I was like, I don't know if these recruits realize it. I'm going to point it out though, because they need to give you some credit, bro. Like you were doing all the graphics for your.
Yeah, I got some help from Trevor, man. He helped us out huge to get us the graphics that, I mean, the setup basically. And then, yeah, from there, it was basically cut and go. And, you know, as soon as we got those rolling in from the NLIs and stuff, it was, cut those graphics and put something together and, you know, celebrate what we were able to do for them. But it was a graphic to be able to get that here. Through.
I'm going to help you out here, and I'm going to tell this to every single recruit out there. If you're listening to this, and if your mom and dad, you too, get some quality photos, right? Get some quality high quality photos that we can use for cutouts in these things. Because
as by yourself as you can be is, man.
They don't realize it. It's like, easier. Yeah, way easier. Oh, that's hilarious. So, dude, I remember those days, man. Like getting this grainy photo and then trying to have to cut some guy out on Photoshop. Wow. You're like, dude, this is insane. So, I love it.
And in like the timely manner too. Like where you're not trying to spend a day doing it because you have five others to do in the next 10 minutes.
You're not kidding. No, legitimately. I mean, AI probably helps a lot with that now, but legitimately back then, dude, Keegan, Trevor, like, dude, they were knocking out like two graphics in like 20 minutes, I feel like, just cutouts. And it took me like an hour and a half to do one cutout. Like, I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, when we all worked together in our three-man pod, I was not involved with graphics, just to say that. Like, I was a waste of time in the graphics department. Like,
oh, that's hilarious. You
know what I mean? And so, I mean, I was much better at the actual recruiting process. So, that was where it was. It's definitely a grind in that process. No,
I get you. And in regards to the recruiting process too, though, now you're recruiting at that JC level, and we kind of talked about the differences between all of them. The JC side of it, though, I've had this particular question come up a lot, actually, over the last week leading into signing day. And it's coming from parents that are like, hey, I have like a D2 or a D3 offer. And we kind of talked about this a little bit, but I have like a D2 or a D3 offer. But the which is unique, and this is literally twice now this has happened, where the mom or the dad that reaches out is like, hey, we have these D2 or D3 offers. Everyone's telling us, so like all their support group around them is telling them, hey, you're probably better off going the junior college route instead, to, you know, if your dream is to get it to D1 level or, you know, even to the NFL, which baby steps here. But like, what's your take on that? And it could be biased for sure, obviously, because you're working at that JC level now. But I'm curious to hear your feedback, if you don't mind, on that one.
No, yeah. So, I mean, I'll give you an unbiased opinion even that I had just through the recruiting process, just barely, with a kid that ultimately he went through this whole deliberation of us and the Division II, and he went with the Division II, which, like, I'll kind of tell you about our conversation that we had through that. And also just, you know, my philosophy on, you know, why you would choose what you're choosing, and you know, why you want to pursue what you're doing. So for me, if you're sitting there with an offer, like, so you're an offer for somebody to pay for your school from a Division II, a Division III, a junior college. And like, I'm not saying those offers are the same, but ultimately somebody is offering to pay, you know, money to pay for, or like to pay for your education and to help you out with it, essentially. And, you know, some of that I would say weighs into the decision of like, how much are you going to have to come out of pocket in those situations? Do you know fully the situation that you're in financially, to where like, are you going to be covered in your housing? Are you going to be covered with your food? Are you going to have all of these things, like books, fees, like are all these expenses going to be covered? Or is it that your scholarship covers this amount, and then from there, the remainder is going to have to come out of pocket? If that's the case, do you have a plan to, I mean, pursue that passion that you're going to go and play Division II football there? And like, ultimately, in my opinion, if you are willing to, you need to stay at that Division II or that Division III and play football there and have the goals and the aspirations of being the best football player to ever play at that school. Because if you're wanting to go at that level and like go and pursue that type of, I mean, a four-year school with, I mean, ultimately you're choosing that school for the 4 years is how I feel they should be doing it. And if you have any type of thought in your head of like, okay, well, I'll just go and see what it's like, and then if I do well or if I don't like it, then I'll just transfer. It's like, okay, why?
Yeah,
why are you making that decision? Because ultimately, one, is the football competition that you're going to be playing at a level to where you're going to get recruited from there.
Yep.
So like, ultimately, are you going to get film put together from the football that you play at that spot? If you even get the opportunity to play and like start there, are you going to get film put together? Or, you know, if you do, who's it going to be against? Like, what position is that going to be? And then from there, it's, you know, you might be on the attack team. Maybe you're all those things, you know? So you can't rely on, yeah, I'm going to go and do well and just transfer, because you don't know what the future is going to hold in that way. And then also with that, it's, you know, like I was saying, financially, you're going to be in a position to where you may be coming out of pocket a lot more just to go and take that chance, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just to go and experience what you feel like you might want to go experience, because it's a 4-year institution and, you know, whatever it is that makes you inspired to go and play there. And I'm not saying Division II football isn't good. I'm just saying, if you're going to choose it, choose it. Don't just be half in and half out about it and think you're going to go there and just ball out in your freshman year, and then you're going to go and get recruited by everybody in the nation. Because, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but in looking at it in a way of like, if you're going to get recruited from a junior college or you're going to go and get recruited in that way that I just said, you're going to go and get recruited so much more to junior college 100% of the time. And so that's where, like, if you have that mindset about it, in my opinion, choose a junior college. And if you're going to choose a junior college, if you're a really good football player, choose Snow. And that's like where, you know, for me, it's, you know, that's where I would say I'm biased, right? That's where I would say, yeah, if you're going to choose a JC, we're the best. So come choose us. And so from there, though, if you're going to choose D2, which, like, that's what I'm saying. So this conversation I had with a player I had built a really good relationship with through the recruiting cycle and had been in the high school to see him, had seen him play. I mean, all of it, like, through the process, has met his parents, that had him out on campus, and just kind of late through that recruiting, he got Division II offer and, you know, ultimately entertained it. And I was like, yeah, man, you need to go and experience what you want to go see and truly know what your decision is based off of, like, knowing your options, not just knowing who I am and knowing what Snow is, but go explore the options that you have. And then from there, entertain them. And, like, whatever you feel is best for you, pursue it. And so, you know, he goes through it, he gets a visit, he picks up the offer, and then, you know, essentially goes from being committed with me to decommit and committing with that school. And I kind of just had the, you know, exactly that conversation of, like, you know, the why and like the, you know, the belief in what you're doing for why you're doing it. And so, like, if you're doing, if, and I told him, if you're choosing this because ultimately you feel like it's the best decision for you in your future and in your life, and you want to go be the best football player at this institution that has ever been there, then, you know, every bit of it, I would say support everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. And for me, it's like, the only loss is I don't get to play, or he doesn't even, I don't have him on my roster. I don't have to play against him. I don't have anything, like, going negatively against me other than I need to go and recruit somebody else now. And so, you know, that's what I did. And that's where, you know, I went and found some great football players to come in and play for us this next season. And, you know, that's where he made the decision he made, and he's going to go where he's going. And I'm happy for him that he does that. But ultimately, I really just hope that he made the decision for the right reason and he stays there. And, like, and he is the best football player to go through that program.
Yeah. And I think what I love the most about what you're saying, dude, is the reality of what it is right now. I think a lot of high school athletes, but also parents, don't realize this. Is like the turnover, not necessarily turnover, but like, I don't even say, like, even like a turnaround, man. Like, for a junior college, there's an expectation for it, right? Like, were you guys, and some of the coolest videos personally that I have seen, if you haven't seen it, is what Snow has done with former players that were there that are now at D1 level. That was brilliant in my mind. I was like, I don't know who's that was you? Bro, that was freaking brilliant. Like,
I'm not going to tell myself I love that, but yeah, that was freaking cool to just see those videos, man.
Dude, amazing.
I love the idea, but even more, provided. And, like, I loved that we gave those guys an opportunity. And, like, because I mean, every single one of those guys earned that opportunity. And I mean, it's, Snow was the spot that they chose as their, you know, ultimately their pit stop or whatever you want to call it, but they made that happen. You know what I mean? It's just Snow got the opportunity to be the ones that helped them make that happen. And dude, so it was really fun to watch that happen.
If you haven't seen those videos, you can go look them up. I'm pretty sure Coach McFalls has probably retweeted all of them, as he should. They're amazing. It's like, you got these guys that have moved on to big time Division I programs. There's one from Wyoming, I think, University of Utah, that I saw. And I'm like, dude, they're literally telling you, hey, I got my start at Snow College. And I'm like, that is phenomenal, like, recruit marketing, bro. Like, just blew my mind. I love that. But that's the reality of it too. So when we have this conversation about, hey, there's kids that are going to go the D2 or the D3 route, or should I go the junior college route? It's like, no, you do what's best for you, but understand, like, you have a 2-year program typically versus a 4-year program. Like, there's different commitments. It's not the same type of commitment, and you can't, it's hard to, like, measure those two together. Like, it's hard to. So I love that you said that. If you're going to commit to it, even though the transfer portal is what it is, blah, blah, blah. Like, don't feed into that. It's like, commit to it. All right, dude. Great advice, bro. That's great advice.
Thank you. Yeah. Like I said, I wanted to share that conversation that I had because truly that's how I feel about it. And like,
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, even if the kid chooses a different junior college, it's like, I mean, that sucks for you because you can get beat by us. But yeah. With that too, it's.
Yeah. It's the competitive side, bro. Let's go.
Oh man. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
It's like at the end of the day, it's you're making the decision for yourself to do what you truly want out of this thing. And if you're not making that decision for that reason, in my opinion, you're not gonna be happy. And it's gonna come sooner than later and you're gonna be trying to find a different option. And we've scored on kids that have made that decision. But then also with that too, I hate to see kids have to go through that in their life because it's hard. I would imagine, you know what I mean? I didn't personally go through it, but I would imagine it's difficult start and stop and then start in another place. And then, you know, just all that stuff. So the moving, the transition, every bit of it. So.
Yeah. And for the record, I've had, and this is more of a toot here for Snow College. I had several teammates that came through Snow College, all of them. Very good players. So just, I could go down the list of all these ballers that have come out of Snow College, but the list is too long. And instead of focusing on those guys, I'd rather focus on your current ballers coming up that you just recruited. Were you down for that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Dude, okay. I want you to speak more towards the guy. Like, okay, here's the deal. I'm looking at the list right now, and it's, you guys got a phenomenal class. Like for the stigma that might be around junior college, you guys just destroyed that stigma, bro. Like it is phenomenal. So I think kudos to the entire Snow College staff. Phenomenal recruiting class. Some of these players are absolute ballers. But I'd prefer you stick towards, even though they're all great, guys that you are very much recruited, like in it, whether it be your room or guys that you are more involved in the recruiting process. And I may even, which I thought about this as we were going, I'm going to pull up some film on them. Would that be all right? Were you okay with that? Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who do you want me to start with?
Let's start with Viliame Fafita.
Okay. All right. Let me pull him up. Okay. So, and Sky Ridge
High School.
Yeah, Sky Ridge. So, Sky Ridge player, O lineman. All right. Yep. You got to do it. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up.
I do want to mention, so, with JC and like junior college recruiting, the one big thing with that is, I mean, the kind of the openness of recruiting everybody is almost the same to where like we can kind of recruit from the highest Division I type kid to the kid that just started playing football a year ago and has absolutely no idea what he's doing, but has development and like that type of track. That's who we look for at Snow. And that's who we look for, you know, in the junior college ranks. And it's qualifiers and non-qualifiers, because qualifiers ultimately put themselves in a way better position in a junior college because they control their destiny. They can come in as a true freshman, start, play a fall, and get out by December.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
I mean, we can recruit everybody. But yeah, that's where I just wanted to throw that out there because that was the one thing that I didn't mention in the way of like, you know, differences in the way we recruit to everybody else, but, or, you know, different ranks, but yeah, man, we can, I mean, for example, Seth Wilfred went from a backup tackle at Bishop Gorman last year to coming in as a true freshman and starting for me and is now sitting out there in Auburn. And, you know, that's where just the track I said, 3 months, it was a true freshman, came in, started, played every single game. And by the December period, he had signed by Auburn. So, you know, those are the kinds of tracks that we can have kids take. But, you know, ultimately, I think Viliame, I think he has, you know,
that type of potential. Track
projection that, you know, he can turn into something like that. So,
well, let's see it, bro. Let's see it. I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to utilize Riverside FM to its capabilities here. But let's pull up this, film. Can you see it? There you go. Oh, that was dirty.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just pulling up. Oh, you can't see it anywhere. Hold on. It's not loading.
Give me a second. I knew what you were saying, man.
Hold on. Oh, there we go.
If you watch, the things that like stick out to me with this type of kid and the way that he plays football is the first word that comes to mind is violence. And like the aggression that he brings to the football field and the technical way that he is able to do that and throw his body around like that and play violently on the football field is like, dude, that's what offensive line is to me. Just
this is a great player, bro.
Being a trench dog, you know what I mean? Just, I mean, like, you can tell the posture right there. You can tell his ability to control his center of mass. And, I mean, look at the set control. Look at his ability. Yeah, exactly, dude. This is a fun one.
Look at that. Like, listen, you can argue that that's an edge player, bro. But, I mean, edge player, is usually they have speed on you, too. So, it's like, and for the record, if you're listening on the podcast itself, I feel bad for you. You guys got to go on and watch the actual video on Athletes TV because we're watching this kid just demolish people on the line.
Oh, man. And like the twitch that he has in and out of his stance, his ability to get in and out of a really bendable position, like see him down at 3-point and then he bursts out of that thing and then he's in a good position to be able to get his hands on. I mean, and there's different things that like you're sitting here watching this and like, yeah, I wish you'd do that or whatever. It's, I mean, he's a senior in high school, so he's going to develop, man. This kid is like every bit of a junior college dream. And for you to sit and, you know, be able to see the tools that he has to play with right now as a senior, you know, that's where it's exciting to kind of see the projection of what he could do at that next level. And I mean, ultimately it's like, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to have this kid. He's on the track to where like, he'll be, he's going to be a freak, man. I'm really excited about this kid.
That's wicked, dude. Really, I mean, man, I'm excited about you too. That's awesome. That's way awesome. Let me, who do you want to go next?
Let's go. This is a little switch up on kind of the type of kid. So Damian Nelson, let's go with him. Offensive lineman, big kid from Grantsville, Utah.
Grantsville, I was just on a phone call with their athletic director the other day. I'm pulling up the wrong Damian Nelson. Give me a second.
It's a great little city. They've had a good tradition there of football for a long time, and they play really good football. And ultimately, it's just tough, you know, grind it out. It's not going to be the prettiest or the sexiest version of football that you're going to see, but for me as an offensive line coach, I don't care. I love to see this kid bend and. I mean, you see this kid, and just to give you reference, I think he is, it's got it listed 6'8". And I mean,
holy canoe, 6'8".
I would say, if he's not 6'8", he's 6'7" and scratching at 6'8" because,
bro,
I had him out on a visit with me and he was, I mean,
you're 6'5" now. You're 6'5" now. So that's high. Okay.
Yeah.
Hold up. Give me one second. Give me, for sure. What's crazy about this, dude, is this kid's, say 6'8", 270. And I was laughing because I'm like, man, Grantsville High School, I don't know what you're feeding these kids, but let's check this dude out.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the biggest things that stick out to me is for a guy that's 6'8", 6'7", somewhere in that frame, look at him bend. Like, that's where, he's able to get it down into his stance. He's able to move his feet. He's able to transition. He's able to get good posture from that position. And, at the end of the day, you have to think about the way they're playing football. You have to think about their scheme. You have to think about the way they're being taught to play football. So, you know, for me to see the athletic ability this kid's pulling off the edge. This kid's setting. This kid's, moving in wide zone. He's doing different things in the way of showing his athleticism as a big, tall guy. He shows his ability to run a combo in that. That's where, he understands the things that I'm asking him to do right there. He was a fullback. So, for a 6'8 fullback, bringing fullback into football, that's amazing. I want to
see that again. Look at that.
Yeah, man. He's that guy right there in the backfield. In that off.
So, when you're that big, there's another guy I think of that I played with. His name's Bryce Walker. And Bryce Walker was ginormous. He's probably 6'7", 6'8 as well. But when you're that tall, it can be very difficult to move. It can be very difficult to and I will say I'm impressed with this kid's movement, man. Like for being that tall and being able to move that fluid is really unique.
Sometimes, that's the thing is the taller you get and the less you bend, the less you're going to be able to bend. And so it's harder to get out of lower positions. You're not as twitchy. You're not able to like flexibly get into an athletic position. And, you know, a lot of the times that's like where for me, I'll look more at those things and like those tools that I can work with and I can mold into my ways of teaching offensive line and, you know, the technical aspect that I teach and all the things. I mean, there's not a lot of people that teach what I'm teaching in the offensive line room, in my opinion, and, you know, especially in high school ranks. So it's like, I know I'm going to have to mold them anyways. Like, I know I'm going to have to teach them and I know I'm going to have to develop them. I plan on it and I really want to develop them. But that's where, like, if you give me a slate of tools that I can work with and like the athletic ability and, you know, the drive, the want to, the nastiness, the physicality that, you know, I can see this kid wants to be physical. I can tell he's going to go and put his hands on somebody and he's not going to stop running his feet until they're driven into the ground. You know what I mean? And,
That's a savvy play. Sorry.
I didn't mean to do that. Oh, no, you're good. That's where being able to kind of have, like the cerebral aspect of like what you're doing on the football field and like picking up a free player. And, you know, that's like just those things is for me, it's the excitement that I have in being able to develop this kid is,
That's cool.
I think he has a very, very high ceiling.
Damien, let's go, man. The expectation's high, brother. You better,
you
better ball out. No, I love that, dude. He looks that last play where it was like it was obvious twist, right? It was almost like a tackle pull, and he drilled him like little trap play. I was like, that was awesome. Picked it up perfect. I mean, all right. I don't know how much, dude. I could do this all day, bro. I could do this all day.
I can as well. Trust me. That's another guy that let's. We'll bump over. Let's go to the defensive side. So one guy that I had a good relationship with through the recruiting process and I think is going to be a freak. I feel very, very lucky that we signed him to our class is Matyra Brown from Pleasant Grove, Utah.
Hear me out for a second. So if you go back in my reels, bro, I had a chance to go. So my nephew plays at Pleasant Grove High School too. His name's Tool Wolfgram, and he's committed to BYU for baseball. We kind of had this conversation, but so I'm going to watch my nephew play. And while I'm there, I'm like, who the crap is this edge player? Like, is this kid? So hold on. I'm with you, bro. 100%. And when when I saw this on your list, I was like, dude, this guy's a baller.
Yeah. And you'll see this clip that I'm referring to on the film that you're about to pull up, but so I'm standing there on the sideline in this game, and I think it's the first round of the playoffs, maybe. And they have – I can't remember who it was that they're playing. Harriman, that's who it was. They have this really athletic little quarterback, and he goes and takes off of the other side to the boundary away from Matyra. So Matyra's dropping off to the flat, from what I remember. And he goes – the quarterback goes and takes off to the boundary away from him, and he gets – by the corner and starts to head up the sideline, and it's like clear as day touchdown. And there comes Matyra, just boom, dude, like dead sprint and chases this little scrambling, freak athlete quarterback down as a monster backer edge guy that you'll see it when you get it up, but that was where I was like, okay, yeah, we need to get this kid on our football team if we get a chance. And
oh man, I want to see this kid. I'm having loading errors. Give me 1 second. Senior season highlights. No, that's the one. That's the one that you've been. Okay, I think this one. This one should work. This one should work. Hold up. But I'm with you though. So like one of the plays that I watched too, they were playing Lehigh, which Lehigh is. I mean, that's a great team, phenomenal team. PG had their own phenomenal team all season. But I was watching him play in this game, watching him chase down like a stretch play from the backside. And I was like, that's effort, man. Like that is, who wouldn't want that on there? But he has like the measurables for it too. Like he looks fantastic.
That's what, when I saw him in person standing next to him, that's like what I like to do. Or, you know, that's why I really like to go see the kid in person and all those types of things is see the interactions on the sideline. I like to go and I'll get as close as I can to him because I want to go out and measure up next to him. And like, I want to go feel, you know, what they feel like next to me as a football player and their presence as a football player. And like, I want to hear what they're saying. I want to know who they are as a football player, like if they're in it to be a team guy or if they're just, you know, if they're a me guy and that's all they care about is that on the sideline. That's where, like, I just, a lot of the kids turn me off in that way of, even if they're a good player, it's like, man, I don't want to have to deal with you and like babysit you on the sideline to get you to play hard, man. Like,
I hear you.
Because effort is always over the, I mean, everything else, man.
Dude, look at this kid. Like, this kid fits the bill, man. He's just great technique
and like,
on that,
dude. To see the versatility that he's got from the different position that he's playing, and like he's dropping off into the flats, he's rushing off the edge, he's playing into the box. He shows the ability to put his hand in the ground. He shows his ability to go and play athletically against us, another like edge type player off the, you know, a tight end or someone like that, a running back out of the backfield. He can cover those guys into the flats. That's where like
that's your Viliami kid too, man. Those guys are going square up in this game.
I know it, man. They got these dudes battled. Cool. I think they battled twice this year. I want to say they battled in the regular season.
Dude, yeah, it was
and
wild.
I think,
in the playoff.
Yeah. Yep.
To look at, he just, dude, I just remember looking at him like, dude, he has a size, he has a length.
And like, if you look at his arms, dude, like that's, like he's got the build and every bit of what you want from that type of backer. And like, man, he, like, when I'm sitting here thinking about Snow College and I'm sitting here thinking about the great defensive players that have came through. And I mean, there's a great deal of Polynesian families that have came through and I mean it's like that's kind of my mindset of like, man, this kid's gonna fit the mold of like exactly what these kids come in and do as these freak athletes, you know, into that. I mean, and you know, I just said the Polynesian thing because there's so many successful guys from that defensive end linebacker edge type position that have came through Snow you know, with that background. And you know, it's just, you know, for me it's a home run hit for, you know, what we look for in this type of kid and, you know, this type of recruit.
Dude, it's phenomenal. I was looking at that play like three times because I was like, dude, look at this. So he gets off the chip from the receiver. He gets off of this little chip block from the receiver. He avoids the old lineman and makes a play. Dude, he's like, bro, come on.
And the vision too, because like starting out on the offensive line or starting out in the line of scrimmage, and having your vision in the backfield and then having to switch your vision out to like essentially where you're dropping to and still athletically make a play like that. Like, can't do that. Those are the things, like the intangibles that, you know, in my opinion, show you the potential of, you know, this kid can do something special on the football field.
Phenomenal, man. That's great, dude. You guys land some dogs. Dude, let's do I'm like keeping you way too late, but I can do this. Like I said, let's do one more. Let's do one more. Maybe two more. No, I'm just kidding. The Unga kid out of Tipview.
Oh yeah. Whitley.
Yeah, Whitley.
Yes, sir. Yep, that's my guy.
Okay. All right.
He's gonna be coming out after he's gonna serve a 2-year mission and then he's gonna come back and join us.
Awesome.
But man, he is, I mean, I was talking about violence. Like, this kid's fun to watch. He,
dude, 6'3", like, 300, bro. Yeah.
Just every bit of him. That's where, like, I went walking into school visit and he comes walking up to me and I'm like, dude, what in the world? Like, what did you, where you been eating? Like, where you been fighting? I mean, there's a reason why they're the state champs, right? That's like, I mean, there's a reason why they had the success they had this year. And in my opinion, it always starts up front. And, you know, for a kid like him to be anchoring the offensive line, and then, I mean, he played defensive line as well through his career there. And this kid, I mean, you speak about a last name, that's a last name that you can live on through Snow College. You know what I mean? So
that's a big name for sure. Hey,
and like for a big man to be moving athletically like that, dude.
This is a playoff game or a state championship game.
I can't see who they're playing. That was the playoff because the state championship was the night game that they won. So I want to say that was the playoff or like the semis, and then the state game was against Bountiful. It was the evening game.
Look at that upper body strength, dude. Just to tear dudes down like that, bro.
Well, and like the ability to transition as a big dude like that, sometimes guys get stuck in blocks. And like, if they have bad posture, if they're leaning, or if they're using the wrong parts of their body to create movement, they're going to fall off, or they're not going to be able to transition from, like, in a pass off in a twist, you have to be able to have good posture, and you have to be able to have strike control. And like, I mean, there's different things that, like, and set proper postures that, you know, this kid has just naturally. And, you know, that's where, like, I mean, there's things about, you know, some of it is a little bit too far over his toes sometimes here and there. But I mean, with that too, being a big, strong guy, you kind of get in the habit of doing that, you know, a little bit like easily because you're able to do it for so long. But that's where, like, being able to see the difference in how he plays. Like, I mean, I'm not expecting the kid to be perfect on his film or in the way of technique, but the effort, his ability to, you know, get in and out of blocks, his ability to bend. You keep hearing that word from me, but like, he's got to be able to bend. He's got to be able to get in and out of his stance and be twitchy coming out of it. And
if you're too stiff, it ain't going to work out, man. So I get it. Let's see. All right, let's go. Last one. I would like to see. Let's try more like a skill player.
Okay.
I know it's hard, dude, because you love all these guys. But
let's go. Let's go. Daquan Snyder, running back from Roy High School.
Oh yeah, we talked about him. Okay.
Ooh, and then I got the last one to finish off with because we got one more after him.
All right, I'm down. I'm down.
I got to throw back in there because he's actually not even on that list.
And so okay.
It's a little announcement that I'll make. Well, I mean, we announced him, but yeah, he's not on that list. So I'll tell you.
All right, down. All right. You already know I'm down for Roy Hyatt, Roy Utah, Roy Royals, baby. Okay. So and, I see.
I mean, there's
junior.
A consistent theme. There's a consistent theme in there to where, I mean, like I was saying, our philosophy is start in and work out. I mean, in my opinion, we won the state. And so that's where, like, you have to stay in and then work out. And I mean, I'm not saying that in the way of, like, the guys that we got out of state are freaks. Like, I'm so excited about those kids as well. But I mean, ultimately, if you're not recruiting your state, you're in a bad spot.
What are you doing? What are you doing? You got to get this in-state support, bro. Ooh.
Learn how to. Yep, this kid is wiggly.
Wow. Okay. I'm almost sold on play one.
Yeah, man. I mean, and then sitting out there in the slot position, we know he can catch the football. We know he can be special with the ball in his hand from there. And that's like showing the versatility as an offensive player to where, like, you can have, you know, you can have a kid go and line up in five wide and be a running back and still be extremely effective.
So watch this. So here he is, number four. One, two, three, four, five defenders to beat. Oh, 6-7, because the defensive end almost caught him too. And that back, so he slipped all of them. That's wild. Okay, this guy's got some juice. He's got some speed, man.
Yep, and then I mean that right there, the physicality. Like,
I love it. I should probably, if you're listening on, bro, I should probably be more descriptive with some of these plays, but you just got to go watch it because these kids are just falling out.
Just go pull them up.
And you get, well, here's the thing, man, is like, this is phenomenal. Like, watching this with you, I'm going to have to do this more often, dude, because like, you breaking it down is like, this is what we're looking for. Like, this is, it's coming from a college coach, guys. Like, you're watching what he is watching and how he is breaking it down.
And especially, like, for me as an offensive line guy, and like, for me thinking about how we're going to block for this guy, I love to see the patience that this kid has to see the ability to, like, get in and out of his run cuts and, like, not have to be full speed until he needs to be full speed. And that's where, like, I mean, everybody running backs wise, you got, like, they have to learn the ability to have patience and have the ability to rate their speeds, because you have to let the blocks develop in front of you. And so, like, for this kid to show that as a high school football player and naturally have the ability to manage his way through tackle the tackle box, it's it's Perfect. Exciting to see him, you know, have the success he's having as a high school player, because I think it translates very, very well to the second level and, you know, everywhere yeah. after that. But, you know, dude, now it's just the, from there, the growth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I get like so into these plays, bro, but what this one was stunning to me. So this is design, which it looks like a gap scheme play, right? So you have offense running like a power type play. And this dude has the patience to wait for his pulling guard, but then also has the vision to see the backside open up. Oh, no, it was a tight end that pulled. Okay.
Yeah, but maybe still, that was that's more design.
But still, though, yeah. Look at that.
And press the front side and then get into hip position behind yep. the kickout block and then be able to feel it and read it there. Like, wow, I mean, bro. And then from there too, running backs, you got to just go make plays, right? That's where like, yep. it's not always going to be perfect. It's never going to be blocked the right way. And it's, I mean, if it's going to be a chalkboard, then yeah, it's going to look great. But then from there, it's going to look a lot different. And, you know, it's a running back's opportunity to go and show his unique skill set in that type of frame. And, you know, that's Jeez. Where like you set them up with a rate. With a great block, but then from there, it's, you know, it's their job to go be an athlete.
Yep. Look at that. Look at that.
Run and stretch. Like that's wow. where like you can see the versatility going from, you know, tackle to tackle. Then also he can run stretch. He has the ability to be patient through that. He can run gap scheme. He can run zone scheme. It's like, you know, you want to see those types of things. You want to see the ability to be in a lot of different spots in an offense, because you know, coming in, you have a lot of projection to where you can have a lot of things do or like a lot of things ahead of you to give you success, right? You're not yeah. pigeonholed into just, I mean, oh, well, he's only good at running power. And so we can only give him the reps in power. And now you only get 5 carries, you know, through the day. And instead,
yeah.
now we can put you in the slot. Now we can put you stacked. Now we can put you as a blocker. Now we can yeah. make sure that we rely on you as a pass protector. Like, I mean, all of those things.
Oh, I love it. Here's my question. The only thing I don't see on this film, which you guys have, I guarantee you've evaluated it, because all the highlights are more running, which obviously is running back, but catching the ball.
So play 2, that was like the one where he lined up
oh, that's as a true. Spot
player.
That's
and,
true.
And I mean, there's a little bit I want to say.
Look at
like,
you, bro. Hold on. Look, I want you. This is how many times he's watched this film. He knows exactly. That is awesome. That is hilarious.
He actually has like videos posted of like stuff outside of like in camps, and I want to say like those types of things, those in those situations where yep. I want to say we've seen like other plays, and I think I know that like it's probably sprinkled throughout the rest of his film as well it as is. Like younger junior films as well.
Yeah.
You know, you can see him kind of getting his hands on the ball in different ways.
Dude, and the only reason I say that is because like from a running back perspective, right, whether it be just like a quick little scat out or whatever, or you're ditching the ball to him. I saw a couple of those just by watching this film. But I look at it, I'm like, dude, I mean, he's in my mind, I'm like, if he can catch downfield, I mean, dude, he's just as versatile as putting him in a slot position. Like,
exactly.
You can throw him out and there and he'll kill it.
You can run the screen game with him. Yeah. Like, you can, I mean, every bit of it's, you know, the world cool. is open for that type of kid.
Dude, these are phenomenal. Okay. All right. You got, I want to hear this
I'll
one.
I'll tell you. Okay. East High School, a little okay. leopard, Damian Otukolu.
I know that name. All right.
Oh, man, this kid is fun to watch play football.
I know that name. Wow. Okay. So you're telling me, so this was a late one.
Oh, late. Yeah. He's a very quiet kid and like a very quiet in the way of recruiting and yep. kind of just, I mean, he stayed to himself. We had a really good personal relationship with a guy on the staff that he had with Damian. And so, you know, that was able to help us out quite a bit in the way of getting him. But, I mean, Coach Jordan Pulo, our defensive coordinator was like, He made sure that this guy was on our team. That was where, like, I mean, he watched this kid play football and was like, dude, this is the kid that needs to play football for Snow College. Like, there's no yeah. doubt about this kid. I mean, every single thing about what he can do on the field is, I mean, and he wasn't even fighting for his side of the ball. That's where, like, he just said, whatever he does, let's get him out here. And, you know, that was, he was a big advocate for him, but,
athlete,
oh, man.
Yeah.
And he'll do it all. He will come out and do it all for us. So,
dude, that was that first one was insane. That first one was insane what he just did.
Dude, just, I mean, some of the stuff that he is able to do, like the athleticism, the speed, the vision, that, look at that, dude. Like,
yeah, that's insane. This is that's
fun.
Insane.
This is fun football right there.
That's how you like the game. That's how you want to see someone run the ball, dude. That is insane.
And like, I mean, offense, defense, it's special teams. It's like, I mean, it's like that Booby Miles quote. And he can pass.
The versatility is insane. Dude, I love this kid. You telling me you guys landed this dude? When did you get him?
I mean, we ended up signing him like the day after signing day. And a little bit of that is kind of just more so like getting lost in the recruits that we have through signing day. We should have had him signed. But yeah. I mean, shoot, he's the punter right there, dude. Like, that's Jeez, where
they're gonna run it though.
He doesn't look at him go. Punting, but
he's lined up back there.
You know, if he goes back there, like, you should have known defense. Come on, he ain't gonna kick.
That's
that
a little
ball.
Obvious, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
But like running screen game, just I mean,
boom.
Look at this kid, dude.
Jeez. That's awesome. That's three tackles broken and like without like very little effort, I felt like.
Oh, dude, yeah. And then bang. And then he can like, and then, you know, he loves playing football. You can tell.
Yeah. Like I said, like, I think that's what's fun about it is that you can actually see that he enjoys playing. Like, he's having fun. Like,
yeah. And the joy that like he brings to the game is, you know, the energy that you can see that he just, I mean, I bet he's a fun teammate. You know what I mean? I bet he's a kid that's like
for sure.
Very energetic and, you know, exciting to be around. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I hear from Coach Maddich. And, you know, that's where from everything we've seen of him, you know, he's going to be.
Coach Maddich, man. I haven't heard that name in a minute. That's a great coach right there. Coach Maddich, man.
He's been a great guy with me too. I've gotten a lot of recruits from him and we've got a good relationship. He's been awesome. I got a tackle from there that, oh man, I'm excited about.
I know. I saw him on the list too, bro. Like I said, we could do this all night, but dude, I told you these podcasts go way too long, bro.
Yeah. That's how it's supposed to go though, right? I mean, this is the right way.
This is awesome. Dude, I love this kid. Good pickup, man. Jeez, a wheeze.
I'm happy I saved that surprise.
Oh, this kid go, man. It's endless.
Like, just, you can see he's out there playing Madden with himself. Like,
look at these, like, just interceptions. I think that's like the second or third one I've watched.
Yeah.
Jeez, a wheeze. I love it. Well done. Bravo to Snow. You guys killed it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the staff is awesome. We did a great job this year. And dude, like I said, I think we won the state of Utah in, you know, in a great way. And
yeah,
these kids are going to come show.
Wear that on your chest, dog. Like, I would argue that you guys, you're competing, right? It's a whole different level at those games. But, dude, these kids are great. And I think it's going to be fun watching you guys play, bro. It's going to be really fun watching you guys play.
To have the success from the state itself is, I mean, it's fun to represent the state in the way of, I mean, recruiting, in the way of like football representation just from the state itself. Utah has grown so much. And I mean, I have a lot of pride because I played here, I've coached here, all these things. Like, I mean, it's funny when the staff listens to this, they're going to laugh about this that I'm bringing it up. But I saw a stat that there was like, I think Utah was the sixth highest state in the NFL with players per team.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I've seen that. I think it was like there was like five southern states and then Utah. And so
I've seen that.
I mean, you know, for the skill level to be what it is in the state and the competitiveness and our ability to play football, the kids in the state are, I mean, they're real football players and they're going out every different area of the nation and showing that at every level. You know what I mean?
It's fair. There's a bunch of them out there. I mean, shoot, the quarterbacks alone, Jackson Dart. I mean, he's killing out there, Ole Miss. I mean, I could go on for days about Mason Cobb out there at USC. I mean, just Yeah. Right, I mean, talk about, I mean, even guys at Holotingata, like, I mean, I could keep going for days, dude. Naming names of Matt Asiata, a lot of these guys that you talk kids to.
Zach Wilson. So. I mean,
yeah. You know, I mean, keep going. Like, I would go all day. I really
exactly.
could.
Just, I mean, that's where, like, the names we're leaving out of there, just, I mean,
yeah, I was saying, like,
Mount Rushmore, you know what I mean? So
that's awesome. Dude, I appreciate you doing this for as long as you had. I didn't, like I said, I never intend for it to go this long, and I always feel bad, but I'm also like, it's too good not to.
Oh, man, I'll be back anytime you want me.
I mean, love that.
This is fun for me. This is the stuff that's like, you know, I have a lot of joy in this. So anytime, man.
Dude, I love that. And I'm probably going to take you up on it. Last thing I'm going to ask you to do, and there's already been so much shared, dude. It's phenomenal, from personal stories to the recruiting aspect of it on that side. But last piece of advice on your way out that you'd give to recruits going through that grind right now.
Be patient, one. And then also, two, find what you really want out of this thing and then go attack it with your own personal drive, to where, like, you control your future. You control what you want from this thing. You control those things. You can't control what happens to you in this process, or like who's recruiting you or any of those types of things, but you can control how you handle the process. And so that's where, like, if you want to play high level football, you have to go and find out what it takes to do that. And then you have to go and dedicate yourself to doing that on a consistent basis. And so that's where, like, if you don't know, find out. Because if you're out there swimming and you're just doing things because you think it's right and all those things, there's too much of good football out there, and there's too much good technique. There's too much of information out there of, like, some great opinions, that you need to go and find out how to do it, right? You need to go find out the steps of, like, I want to play college football. Okay, well, then go and find out how, with your school, with your coach, with all these things, and then create a plan. And like we were talking about earlier, the earlier the better, right? And I mean, some of it's a little bit overkill. Like, if you're not in high school yet, just grow up. Like, play football, have some fun. Like, don't think
about
it. I love
that you said that.
I don't need 20, 32 recruits right now, right? I don't need the kids that are, like, in eighth and seventh grade that are, like, playing junior high football. Go have fun. Go enjoy it like I do, right? Go have fun and, like, go do the things that are fun with your friends and enjoy football, and then enjoy the rest of your life too. Because, like, that's where, if you're going to take this thing seriously and if you're going to do football, you're going to invest and you're going to put every bit of every ounce of energy and time and effort. And I mean, you're going to sacrifice so much relationships wise and everything about that. So go find out what it takes and then dedicate yourself to it. And if you're not willing to dedicate yourself to it, then gauge that level properly and then go attack the pursuit that you want. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you see yourself as a Division I football player and you think that you can do it and you understand the workload that it takes and all of these things start to add up to you, then you should go and pursue it in that way. Don't talk about it. Don't sit there and act like it. Don't say it sometimes and do it sometimes and then the other days don't do it. It's like, I mean, that's what it takes. And so, you know what I mean? Go and find out what it takes and then attack it every bit with every day you have.
Boom. Done. I love it, bro. I'm all jazzed up now too, dog. I'm gonna hit the weight room, dude. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Trevor McFalls, everybody. Oh, dude, I love it. I appreciate it. Yeah, we might have to run this back again, dude, because that was actually a lot of fun. I could have watched clip after clip of all these recruits. So, big
me
time,
too, man. It was fun.
I love it. Well, I appreciate you. I'm a cutter right there, but dude, you rock big time.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate this platform. And I mean, anybody that's watching this thing, take it for what it is, because it's a lot of information from a lot of different really good coaches. And my guy Naki is doing the right thing and doing it the right way. So I appreciate you. Great. And yeah, like I said, anytime.
Big stuff, dude. Appreciate it.